Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, it's our 100th episode.
Can you even believe it? 100,
I said,
Jenny.
It couldn't be done. I am now deeply regretting not making a big deal about our 69th episode.
Oh, shit. I'll have to go back and see which one it was, just so we know. we should go back and drop a little Easter egg in and just start the episode with nice. Anyway, it's our 100th episode, which is pretty spectacular. Congratulations, Jenny. You've done a great job.
Congratulations, Kristen. You also have done a great job.
Thank you so much. And congratulations to you, listener. You have listened to us 100 times.
That's like well over 100 hours of us.
Yeah, well over. So
deal
you
with
are
that for
you're
a
experts
minute.
In our vocal intonations, Jenny's wow, wow, wows.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's 6,000 freaking minutes of us talking.
Wow. To quote Jenny Owen Young.
Hell math is just regular math.
No, that's hell math. You're right.
Hell math.
So, in addition to this being our 100th episode, we have some other news. We have some other exciting items to tell you before we dive headfirst into Real Me. First of all, we released the tickets to our next live taping, which is in San Francisco. We're taping Fool for Love. We're going to have some fucking really exciting special guests. And we only have about 50 tickets or so left. It's December 6th. It is at the Brava Theater, which is a really special space. And we really want to see you there. So go to bufferingthevampireslayer.com. Just click on our events page. You can get all of the ticketing and all that information there. 50 tickets is not that many left. So if you want to go, go.
Act swiftly.
Yes. Also in the event landscape, I want to let you know that we are just a couple weeks away from the Atlanta All Ages Pride Party. I have hosted an All Ages Pride Party in New York City for the last 7 years. And due to amazing sponsorship from the Tegan and Sarah Foundation, we are doing our very first Pride Party, All Ages Pride Party in the South at Atlanta. It's at Switch Yards. And you can get all of that information by just going to All Ages Pride. Pride.com. It will be there for you. Bea Steadwell is playing some music. We're going to have youth slam poetry. I'm going to be there hosting alongside Ashanti LaShawn. It's going to be fun. I think there might even be donuts. I'm just saying. And it's totally free. It's totally open to the public. It's a really special thing. If you are near Atlanta, please, please join us October 12th, 2 to 4 p.m. AllAgesPride.com.
When you're taking the bus home from the Atlanta Pride Party or whatever, you could pop onto Spotify or Apple Music or whatever and listen to now my 3 freaking new songs, the latest of which is called Dreaming on the Bus, which just came out. I am so pumped about all of them. But that one in particular, I feel like might be of interest to Buffering listeners because I wrote it with Bess Rogers, who is our voice of Willow.
Hell yeah. Oh, and listen, I don't know if you want the behind the scenes information here, but Bess and Jenny, when they come together to write music, it is really special.
Thank you.
Did I embarrass you?
No, I feel that way too. I feel very special when Beth and I get together.
It's a powerful combination of songwriters. So you should definitely, you should do some Dreaming on the Bus with Dreaming on the Bus. Good call.
Yes. Okay. So furthermore, unrelatedly, let me tell you something else. We have a limited run leftover of Kate Leth's beautiful posters and enamel pins from the Buffy versus Dracula premiere show in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our other usual merch that's one piece is more glorious than the last, all up on bufferingthevampireslayer.com. When you click on shop, they will not last. They are too beautiful to last,
that's,
I think.
True.
So act quickly there. And I'll tell you what else. What I'm truly excited about is that Angel on Top, our sister pod, has a brand new pocket tee designed by the incredible Devin Power, who I love. And it's got a hot little crossbow on the pocket, and it says Rogue, Demon, Hunter, and it rules. And
yes,
you can find that by visiting angelontop.com. Just click on store.
Yes, I've seen some of you on the internet saying, "Ooh, we can have like a little secret code. We'll know you're a Buffy fan and an Angel fan if you come up to me wearing this pocket tee and you ask me what a rogue demon is." So,
oh my God,
I know, very special. So, I have a fun piece of news, which is that we have a voicemail box now. You can call us and leave us.
Oh my God.
A message. If you don't know this, we do special mailbag episodes. They are a delight, and we do them for our $10 patrons and higher. We also have an RSS feed now over on our Patreon page, which means that all of those patrons actually have a private RSS feed. They get all of the episodes ad-free now if you're a $10 donor or higher, and these special mailbag episodes. So now, if you leave us a voicemail, we can include the voicemails in those mailbag episodes as well. And if you leave us a voicemail and we're tickled by it, we might pop it right here in an episode that you all hear. So guess what the phone number is, Jenny?
Is it 696-6969? Mm-hmm. Area code 420?
It is not. Okay. It is 216-30-BUFFY. That's 216-30-BUFFY. Do you know what 216 is an area code for, Jenny?
Is it Cleveland?
It sure is.
Oh my God.
I spent a lot of time looking for the perfect number, and I felt this was it. So you can call us now, 216-30-BUFFY. Leave us a message with your thoughts on the episode, with your questions. We will listen to as many as we can. We will put some in our special mailbags. We will put some in the episodes themselves, should they be relevant and exciting. And speaking of relevant and exciting, Jenny, we have some award winners for sexual tension from last episode.
We sure do. Well, in the sexual tension awards, I like to think that everyone's a winner, but we have a specific numerically determined winner from the last episode. So for Buffy versus Dracula, you know, you'd think that Buffy and Dracula would have had a fighting chance, but they're in fourth place with 6%, a measly 6% of the vote.
Nobody wants it.
Tied for second place, we have two couplings, or should I say one coupling and one quadrupling. Riley and Spike took 29% of the vote. Hot, 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 hot. And Giles and the Brides of Dracula, all three of them, took 29% of the vote. I feel like these two hot couplings canceled each other out.
Yeah.
And Xander and Dracula was somehow allowed to scoop first place with 36% of the freaking vote.
Yeah, people were really into Xander and Dracula.
Unbelievable.
You would have voted for Riley and Spike, Jenny?
Yes.
I would have voted for Giles and the Brides. So we are an example of splitting that vote. Xander and Dracula took it. Congratulations, Xander and Dracula. Your trophies are in the mail. Dracula, we did something fun for you. Your trophy can turn into a bat, a rooftop wolf, or a mist. You're welcome. Okay, we have two special treats for you in this episode, all leading to some fun bonus episodes headed your way this Friday and next Wednesday. Holy crap. First
of all, oh my God, an embarrassment of riches.
An embarrassment. Truly, I am humiliated with how much we have, how much content we have. First of all, in this episode, you'll get a little tease of our Mercedes McNabb interview that will be airing next Wednesday. You'll get the full interview between me and Mercedes. And in this episode, you'll get just a little taste of that because, of course, this is a very harmony-centric episode.
Also, the song this week features the introduction of a new character in our universe. You're welcome in advance. It's Gabby Dunn in the role of Dawn.
What?
Some people like to method act, you know, and move from role to role and live their lives trying to like embody that character for the, you know, short time that they're preparing for the role. Gabby has been living her whole life in preparation for this role, and it shows. This Friday, we'll be putting up a special episode where we sit down with Gabby Dunn and friend of the pod and friend of our hearts, Mal Blum, bringing you their thoughts on Dawn, Gabby's experience recording the song with me, and finally, some Harriet the Spy thoughts from people a little younger than us. Hell yeah.
And before we head into the episode, of course, what would an intro be without Spooky News? Listen, there's been a collection of spooky news sent to me over the break. And so I'm just worming my way through the list here. And this one, it's not even a news article. It is simply a tweet. I'm watching it right now. It's this tweet that originated from the Twitter account Haunter Ha Ha, H-A-U-N-T-E-R Ha Ha, which is a great handle, by the way. And it is a video taken of, I'm so sorry, it involves a cat that is no longer with us, but it also involves what looks like 20 turkeys, and all the turkeys are walking in a circle with their heads bobbing around the dead cat in the road. It is unbelievable. It is certainly a coven of witches. There's no doubt about it.
Oh my God. Those turkeys are dark. There is a dark, dark energy there.
Those turkeys are all dark meat, if you know what I mean.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
So your spooky news today is just, listen, somewhere in the world, a fucking shit ton of turkeys walked around a dead cat, and we don't know what the results are going to be, but stay tuned to find out. That's been your spooky news. And before we roll into the episode, thank you for listening to this wonderful intro done by myself and Jenny Owen Youngs. If you like the jingles you hear, like Spooky News or Hellmath, both which were in the intro, or some of the jingles you hear throughout the episode, you can just go on over to bufferingthevampireslayer.com/jingles and snag them for yourself. They are located in many places. And hey, guess what? The patriarchy jingle? That one's totally free.
Hell yeah.
So without further ado, let us jump in to Real Me.
Hello, and welcome to Buffering the Vampire Slayer, a podcast where we are watching and discussing every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer one at a time, spoiler free. I'm Jenny Owen Youngs.
And I am Kristen Russo, and this week we are talking about Season 5, Episode 2, Real Me. Stay tuned at the end of this podcast every other week for an original song written by Jenny Owen Youngs, recapping the Buffy episode we are discussing. And if you haven't yet started listening to our Angel podcast, Angel on Top, hosted by Brittany Ashley and Laura Zach, they are back as of last week. Get over there. Get in there. It's some good dark fun.
Real Me was written by David Fury, directed by David Grossman, and originally aired on Davetober 3rd, 2000.
Seriously, got all the Daves. Yeah. Which two Daves do we have? Grossman and
Grossman and Fury on this
and Fury, because mm-hmm. there's also, don't forget,
Greenwald.
Greeny, right? Mm-hmm. Now that we hung out with Charisma Carpenter and she called him Greeny so much, I feel like we can call him Greeny too. Sorry if you're listening to this, Greeny. I realize that I've moved ahead in our friendship.
Would you say it's ingrained in your mind?
Wow. Here we go. You know, episode and 2, season
off.
5. We got quips. We got quips like Buffy. This is the one where, as Harmony and her... Yeah, that's right. I said Harmony. As Harmony and her vampire gang plot Buffy's demise, Dawn adjusts to life with a slayer.
Yeah, Dawn. You know, you remember Dawn from before?
Yeah. I want everybody to know that there is a thread in our secret. We have a secret Facebook group for those of you who support us on Patreon. It's pretty big and active. And
lush. It is lush.
It is. It's full of, I mean, it's glorious, one might say.
Uh-huh.
And there is a thread, I saw today, a thread where somebody has everyone commenting on their favorite Dawn episodes from seasons 1 through 4. And it is a treat. It's a treat.
Incredible. So let's take it over to the white room for some very intense yoga block handstands.
Where are we? Like, where are... There's a pommel horse. That's what that's called, right?
Yeah, a pommel horse.
A pommel horse, yeah.
Who knows?
Like, it's like we're in a gymnasium, I guess, or like a like they rented a little gym room for Buffy's.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Training.
So, you know, when there's like some new age music playing and you've got your little pyramid of crystals and
love
you're
a pyramid of crystals.
Extending your feet to the ceiling and your hands to the top of the block, doing a big old extendo handstand, and then you just like one hand it because you can.
It's pretty hot.
And then
you're stupid.
Headstandus interruptus.
You were really building to that, huh?
It just occurred to me. But this is very pesky, huh?
Yeah.
Shouldn't Dawn know better?
This is, okay, so I don't know if you know this about me, Jenny, and listeners, but I have a little sister. And I find this representation of little sisterhood to be spot the fuck on.
Oh, yeah, and like same age difference between you and Allie, right?
Yeah, because you were just saying that Dawn is 14.
Yes.
And Buffy is, we think, 20 at this point?
Yeah, something like 20.
So, yeah, that's, my sister and I are 5.5 years apart, and it seems like they are about the same, and mm-hmm. I wanted to murder my sister for many, many...
Well, was she always interrupting your Slayer trainer sessions?
Constantly. Constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, Jenny, you jumped right into the crystals and Dawn, what is it, headstandus interruptus? But we did get it previously on, and I just want to talk about it for a hot second, because I think it's hilarious that the entire episode, season 5, episode 1, was about Dracula. And basically the previously I was like, okay, but here's what's like really important about the episode.
Yeah.
It's like Dracula's name is mentioned one time and it's mostly like, hey, remember how Buffy asked Giles to be her watcher? Hey, remember how Xander's done with this shit? And hey, remember that little sister in the end?
Oh, yeah. And the magic eye poster?
And the magic eye poster. We're still waiting for answers. On the magic eye poster. So the other thing that I want to talk about in this scene with Dawn.
Is it Giles intoning? Monotonously.
Yeah, well, it's the way Giles rips his fucking glasses off of his face at Dawn.
Oh, yeah, dad is mad.
Mad dad. Very, very mad dad. He's so fucking, he's almost more annoyed with Dawn
than Buffy is. And Buffy just took the fall.
Right. Or her new stunt person.
Right. Okay, so.
So.
Cut to Dawn's bedroom.
No.
Dawn, oh.
Cut to the fucking credits.
And then we arrive at the credits, ta-da.
And who should appear but
Anya in a bunny suit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what's that Christmas song? Who should appear? The most famous little sister of all.
Yep, that rhymes.
Yep. yeah, we have Michelle Trachtenberg in the credits.
Yes. How interesting. Then we go to Dawn's bedroom.
Yeah.
The mysterious third bedroom in the Summers household that we've all been wondering about this whole time. And judging from her bedroom, all Dawn knows is stuffed animals, lava lamp, Betty Boop, and diaries.
Yes. Again, this is exactly how I remember my sister. Lisa Frank, limited to stuffed animals.
Trapper keeper.
Yes. So she is like, no one understands the real me. We get this title out of the mouths of at least Dawn and Harmony. Mm. You know, but this is the first time we hear it. She's like, no one understands the real me. Underline, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Yeah.
Jenny, you were already annoyed with Dawn.
I've had it. she is very crafty, though, with the sort of like breakfast stratagem.
Yeah.
Really? Wow. It looks like it's very beautifully choreographed. A lot of planning and careful timing out of certain emptying of cereal boxes and milk cartons went into this scene.
Yes. I was going to say there's a lot of milk play in this
scene.
Yeah, a lot of milk play.
Boo!
Dawn,
as you know, my position on milk has not changed. I'm firmly against it.
I can't wait till season 6 when we have a my position on milk has not changed t-shirt. you know, we get, as they are convening in the kitchen, the Summers women, this breakfast play where over the top of it, Dawn is sort of like, she thinks she's so special. She's a Slayer. She doesn't even wear a mask, which I think is hilarious. Vampires are stupid. They die from a splinter. And then Joyce, she interrupts to be like, hey, do you want to take your sister to get school supplies?
Suddenly, things have really picked up at the gallery again. So convenient, Joyce.
Joyce looks fucking hot, but we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Joyce is like, help me out. And this is like a, I want to talk to you about this, Jenny, because this is an overarching theme in the episode of Joyce being like, you need to help me the fuck out. Like, I need help from you. And she, I feel like she treats Buffy like Buffy is a 20-year-old college student who's like just fucking around. And I feel a little unokay about it because it's like Buffy has a very big job and it doesn't feel like Joyce is clocking it as what it is.
There's a certain lack of reverence with respect to Buffy's sacred duty that quite often intersects with the very fate of the world, which includes Joyce and Dawn. So right.
She's doing all this work. She doesn't get paid for it. And all she's trying to say is, hey, Dawn's presence in my life is interrupting this really important thing that I'm trying to do for myself, but mostly for the world. On behalf of the world.
And it's not like she has a choice. And it's not like someone can cover for her.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just was rubbed a little bit the wrong way by that. And I think it's a testament to how as human beings, we acclimate to pretty much anything and like normalize it after a certain amount of time.
Totally.
But I just would like to remind Joyce, if you're listening, I would like to remind you that your daughter is the Slayer and maybe you should cut her a little bit more slack.
And Riley would like to remind you that you look great today.
Hello, Riley.
Nurse.
Riley walks in and is like, hey, Miss Summers. You're looking good today, or whatever the fuck he says. Uh-huh. And she's like, it's not even just a throwaway because Buffy's like, excuse me. And he's like, and then he clarifies to be like, well, she's wearing a great outfit.
And also, I'm here to violate your firstborn usually doesn't go over so well, which both fair. She does look great and you shouldn't say that.
In case you haven't done a recent watch of this episode, she's wearing a leopard. Joyce is wearing a leopard button-up underneath like a black vest that's pinned with this like giant safety pin.
Listen,
I don't mean to step on Kate Leth's toes. She'll be here later in the episode. But
maybe Faith is actually back in town, got a new doohickey, did a body swap with Joyce. Joyce is like, oh, where's that harlot lipstick? That I know I have it around here somewhere.
Yeah, Joyce later in the episode is like, hey, Buffy, that's totally 5x5. And we're like,
something's strange.
Something's going on.
Buffy?
Wait.
What?
Because you got to Riley, and I understand that you're always anxious to get to your butterscotch hunk.
Sure.
But before that, something important, a couple of things happen. They say they're going to go to the magic shop. And Dawn says, I don't want to go to Hogwarts. And she finds herself, you know, tickled by her joke.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to say, I looked it up because I was like, where were we in Harry Potter when this episode aired?
Books only?
Well, yeah. And it was the fourth book in the series, Goblet of Fire, had released on July 8th, 2000. So we were only four in and just newly four in. So this is like really height of, I mean, is there a height of Harry Potter? It's just, we always reach new heights with it. But this is like when Harry Potter is really taking the nation by storm.
Right.
So it's always going to be a relevant reference since.
Yeah, now it is. Yeah, but Dawn's there on the cutting edge with her finger on the pulse because she's a, what is she, a Zoomer? She's Gen Z?
I didn't know.
Or is she a young millennial?
Actually, I think, yeah.
She probably falls squarely maybe in the middle of, because did you know that I'm technically the first year of millennial?
81.
Yeah. Yes.
I actually have been told that I am a millennial, even born at the tail end of 80.
Whoa.
Which is, you know, it's controversial. I'm kind of a cusp.
Okay.
Regardless.
So Dawn is reading books. So can we talk about Riley now?
Yeah, we can talk about
Riley.
Okay.
Ugh. As I mentioned in our live episode, Riley got a haircut and he's using way too much product. And you know whose hair kind of looks like in this episode?
Whose?
Somebody who can't see his own hair but continues to style it that way. Anyway, he's got kind of like extreme advanced angel hair. He's like angel hair plus like 75% more product. And perhaps Buffy is off put by this new hair product regime because she has forgotten that she made plans with Riley. And I will point out to everyone that Riley is very accepting and really just rolls with it and is supportive of her new training, and he's so proud of her. Wow.
Listen, what a great boyfriend. I don't mean to knock you off your pommel horse, Jenny, but I actually wrote in my notes, okay, Riley is a very good boyfriend in this moment. He super understands her canceling the plans. Like, I will give Riley credit where credit is due.
Thank you.
That was it. Congratulations, Riley.
We also get this cute thing where, like, he calls Dawn kid and she's always like auto response, like, I'm not a kid.
Yeah.
And she's like talking about, we get the voiceover, her describing their relationship and how he was like totally obsessed with Buffy. True.
Mm-hmm. This is like a thing too, right? Like an older, I had a little sister and I feel like the older boyfriends that I had, not boys that I was dating, but friends who were boys, would always like tease my sister, you know, older friends love to tease, or like your friends as the older sibling, if you're an older sibling, love to tease your little siblings.
Right, right. Yes.
It's totally. Very fun. Once my friend Jeff made my sister's friend Jenna eat a fly for $1. She did it.
Ew.
Speaking of eating flies, per the last episode. So Giles has got a new ride.
Excuse me, whose car is that?
Hot to trot. Giles is playing classical music in his red convertible.
In his midlife crisis mobile. What kind of self-aware monster at age 14 is jumping up in between Giles and Buffy to change the radio station on a car that is not hers?
I mean, listen, Dawn, it's very apparent that Dawn and Buffy have a sibling rivalry rooted in tension, rooted in who's getting the attention and getting cut too much slack and what have you. So I find it very believable that Dawn would jiggle around with the radio because she wants attention and she's not going to get it in this car because it's her Slayer sister and her Slayer sister's old watcher who uses the word newfangled.
Right.
That's how she measured.
He's pretty far gone, as Dawn puts it.
Which I believe Dawn may have done her first installment of.
Hell
math. Not to get too sexy too soon, but Giles really misses driving stick.
he misses driving stick with his old pal Ethan Rain. And he has no time for frivolity right now, except for the frivolity of showing off his sporty new little red car to Willow and Tara, who haven't seen it yet. Pull over!
Willow says, nice wheels. And Tara, Amelia Bedelia's her and is like, the rest of the car's nice too.
Oh, Tara.
Tara, sweet Tara.
And then we get this sweet ass outsider perspective, more Dawn voiceover. Willow and Tara are so cool. They're both so cool. Wow, they're so great. Willow has been teaching Dawn how to play chess.
So
adorable.
Like, let's stop for a second, Jenny, because we're watching this for the first time.
Yes.
Let's say. We have met this character at the end of the last episode, and everyone is discussing her like she has fucking been here the whole time.
Yep.
And we've been playing with that, being like, of course she's been here the whole time, like, because it's fun to immerse. But listen, you know, a lot of our listeners are watching for the first time, so we don't want
to gaslight you.
We don't want to. We don't. We do want to say, like, this is important what happens between Willow and Dawn, because it's underlining, because you keep expecting
somebody to say something.
Who is that girl?
Nobody does.
And so that's important. And I just want to point that out for the new watchers. But anyway, yes, then please, Jenny, segue us to this beautiful diary entry from Dawn.
Wow. Dawn's talking about how cool Willow and Tara are and how they're witches. And that's way cooler than being a Slayer, and they do spells together. And then one time she told Joyce that she wanted Willow and Tara to teach her what they do alone together. And then Joyce got very quiet and told me to go upstairs so she could visit Pat's grave.
Oh, it like struck a chord with with Joyce, you think? And Dawn kind of like hits this nail directly over the head, the one that we've been playing with since these two Wiccas started practicing their witchcraft.
Yeah.
And she says, I guess her generation, Joyce's generation, isn't as cool with witchcraft.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, when we talked about Buffy versus Dracula, I talked about how the episode felt like there was silliness to it, but it felt like we're getting the gang back together again. And like, that's why. And I feel like there's an element of that here. And I wonder sometimes like what it's like when the writers get back together. Like, even for you and I, Jenny, like starting season 5, we're
so exciting,
like,
having a blast.
Yeah, we've got our like bucket full of jokes from the last four seasons.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's fun. And I feel like a lot of that is present in these first few episodes of season 5, where you can almost feel the writers having fun with the things that they've gathered along the way.
Yeah, totally. So the writers seem to have forgotten, though, in this next bit, in which Willow informs Buffy that she can't actually take the drama class they were going to take together. Willow canonically hates stage fright, hates acting, does not wish to perform.
But do you think that Willow is trying to conquer her fear and that's why she's so upset that Buffy isn't going to take the course with her? Because I thought the same
thing. Maybe. Do you think she figured out a spell for banishing stage fright? I figured out a spell for banishing stage fright, which is to take beta blockers.
Oh, nice. So Willow, apart from being mad at Buffy, is super into the fact that Buffy suddenly has this really big work ethic. I mean,
oh yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to couch it like that. Like, of course Buffy has always worked very hard, but this is the first time that Buffy really wants to put like pen to paper and like pick up books and really read and learn about her history and the history of Slayers. And Willow is like, va va voom, you know? She's feeling it.
Yeah, Willow loves a to-do list. Willow loves an agenda, gay or otherwise. Willow loves people getting shit done in a strategic manner.
So we get to ye old magic box.
It's wrecked.
It's wrecked. And Tara's like, Mr. Bogarty? And everybody whips their heads around and they're like, Tara? And she's like, I spend a lot of time.
Let me just take a moment to explain, because this seems necessary, that as a witch, I spend a lot of time here. At the magic box.
And then, of course, Willow trips over the body.
Boy, oh boy. If I had a dollar for every time, I'm just such a klutz. I'm like Bella in Twilight. I'm always tripping over dead bodies. Oops.
For those of you listening at home, which is everyone except for me, let me tell you that you really missed great shoulder shakes
and hair
tosses by Jenny when she did that Bella impression.
I know. I have a question.
Yeah.
So Willow trips over Mr. Bogarty. Buffy rushes Dawn outside.
Right.
So that she won't see, anything more than she's already seen. And then Dawn peers in through the blinds.
Yes.
From the outside. Now, this feels familiar to me, and I'm wondering if you happen to have any knowledge of how many times Michelle Trachtenberg has peered through blinds as Harriet the Spy.
Oh, I was like, maybe it's familiar because it was in the credits. I see where you're going with this.
I'm just wondering if this is something that she, really honed and practiced already.
So I actually, I feel that the generation, or not generation, but the age that I am, aged me out of Harriet the Spy, though I'm sure that a lot of our listeners
will know and write in.
Will know, because right, were you aged out of Harriet the Spy?
I was aged out. We'd probably have to call your sister.
Yes, exactly. My sister would know. I'll call my sister and see if she knows how many blinds Harriet the Spy peeked through. but you can also write to us at bufferingthevampireslayer@gmail.com and let us know your thoughts on Harriet the Spy. And as mentioned in the intro, we have a new voicemail number. So you can call us and leave a beautiful voicemail for us as well that we'll put in our special mailbag episodes.
I know that I just met you and this is crazy. But our number is in the intro, so call us maybe.
Wow. That was like Christian Slater doing a cover of Call Me Maybe.
You're welcome.
So one thing I want to point out is that when Dawn gets pulled out of the magic box, we see the sort of like side of the wall where there's posters. And did you see the band name?
Leftover Salmon.
Leftover Salmon, which is pretty great.
Is that a real band?
Oh, I didn't look it up.
Because it reminded me of something, but it felt like not quite. And then I was like, is there Leftover Tuna? I think Leftover Tuna might be a band. And then I was like, wait, am I thinking of Hot Tuna? And then I thought, wow, I wish I wasn't thinking of Hot Fish of any kind or Leftover Fish of any kind. Fish is really, a food you don't want leftovers of so much. You want to just like get that all done in one meal.
Yo, Leftover Salmon is a fucking band. They're an American jam band from Boulder, Colorado, formed in 1989.
That seems right.
I'm sorry, but they're on tour right now.
Oh my God.
You can see, if you want to see Leftover Salmon, you can see them right now.
Wow.
Holy shit. Okay, sorry. Wow. Okay. That was a detour I did not anticipate taking. I thought it was just somebody funnily making that poster. All right. Dawn is outside and this man, who is very like disheveled. He's unshaven. His hair is messy. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know what his deal is, but he comes over to her and he's talking. He's saying words that make no sense.
He's pretty incoherent.
Cats in cupboards. And, you know, he says, make it stop, make it stop. It's very, it's a little scary at first. And then it gets not violent, but like when he puts his hand on her mouth,
it feels very like aggressive. It's scary.
Really scary. Yeah. I think that like the crossing of that boundary, like her bodily boundary, is really takes it from like, what is this, to like, whoa, this is
yikes,
a traumatic moment for Dawn. Yeah. Unquestionably. And he says a couple of things that are mightily important and mightily connected. Last week, we heard a quote that we had heard Tara talk about in Restless.
You think you know what you are, what's to come. You haven't even begun.
Now this man says to John, I know you. Curds and whey. Now, curds and whey are not a common thing to talk about, Jenny. They happen to be really only talked about in the context of a nursery rhyme.
Yeah, they remind me of that one broad Miss Muffet.
Yeah, that broad. Uh-huh. Yes, little Miss Muffet, I believe, sat on her tuffet, Jenny, and she was eating her curds and whey.
Yeah.
So if you remember the Little Miss Muffet line, that's from the dream that Buffy had with Faith.
There's something I'm supposed to be doing.
Oh, yeah. Miles to go. Little Miss Muffet counting down from 730.
Great. Riddles.
So this is interesting. And then he says, you don't belong here. And that's all we get. Then Tara comes out.
This is really sweet.
This is really sweet. Tara sits down with Dawn. And this is like the beginning of a theme in the episode of Tara feeling left out of the Scoobies and reflecting on Dawn as like her companion in that.
Yeah, yeah.
And she says, like, non-Scoobies like you and me should stay out of the way. And then Go ahead, Jenny.
And then they film wrestle.
It's really sweet. It's really, really sweet, especially because we already learned how much Dawn looks up to Willow and Tara.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the reasons she looks up to Willow is because Willow loves school as much as her.
I know.
People have asked us what our thoughts on Dawn are. And I just want everyone out there who's like worried that perhaps everyone will always be annoyed with Dawn to know that like, I love Dawn. Love is strong, but I have a lot of space for Dawn. And I just think this is a cute moment.
Yeah, it's she's in a tough position.
Yeah.
So just keep your hearts open.
Yeah. So
in no time at all, Willow has cross-checked the inventory list with everything that's in the store to determine what's been taken. And Giles, on a parallel path, is having his mind blown by the magic box profit margins. I bet the death rate keeps the rent down, he muses.
Yep. Giles is really into the profit margins of the magic box. Magic box.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They also deduce that a unicorn is missing, the value of which is $12.95, Jenny.
$12.95 in $2,000,
mm-hmm,
for one ceramic unicorn 10 inches high.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Sounds about right. So who, they muse, who would steal a unicorn?
Ha!
And
there's only one answer, my friends.
Truly is only one answer. And it's not Harmony, it's Brad for Harmony.
Brad for Harmony. Craigslist.org/Sunnydale/Brad for Harmony.
Hashtag unicorns.
Hashtag unicorns. Brad stole it for her because he is, as some of his vampiric cohorts in the Harmony gang say, sire whipped.
So Harmony is back, and Harmony, oh,
looks
boy,
great in this lighting. She looks amazing in this lighting.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I don't mean to, whatever, but Harmony looks great in literally any lighting, except for sun lighting, because she would die.
Yes, absolutely. But there's something about, it feels like they stepped it up for this scene.
Probably because they wanted the lighting to glimmer off of her gold lame pants.
Who knows?
Do you know who might know?
Could it be Kate?
It might be Kate.
It's time for our friend Kate to give you the Buffy fashion update.
Hello, my beautiful Slayerettes, and welcome back to Buffy Fashion Watch, now featuring one of the show's most controversial characters, Dawn. Now, Dawn is a character whose outfits I'm sure I'll comment on at some point over the course of the rest of the series, but it's unfortunate for her in this episode because not only is her sister wearing multiple navel-revealing shirts and hoop earrings, but this episode has Harmony in gold pants. And not just gold pants, but halter tops with beading and sequins and long, ridiculous chains. And if you really pay close attention, she wears pants that have tassels all the way down the side. I thought they were shiny PVC at first, but I think they're goth cowboy, and I respect that so much, it's really hard to think about anything else. But I am legally required to mention that Willow and Tara wear almost identical outfits for most of this episode. I also have to point out that when we see Willow and Tara walking past the espresso pump when they're on the way to the magic box, Willow's hair is down and she has kind of an off to the side part. When they're in the magic shop, a scene I assume they shot later or a different day, her hair is flipped out and she has a zigzag part. So take from that what you will. Now, I do have to give it up for one thing Dawn wears in this episode, even though it is so brutally eclipsed by Harmony's pants. The dress that she wears when Xander and Anya come over, I swear I owned an exact replica of that when I was 14. So even though I hated this character when I was that age, sorry, they really got it right. And another thing they got right was Riley's compliment to Joyce on her ensemble in the beginning of the episode, because she's wearing a flowy leopard print collared shirt with a vest over it that is tied at the top with a giant safety pin. I had to pause on this to make sure I was correct about that, but it is. It's like a giant diaper pin. And she's pulling it off, much like she pulls off the turtleneck thing that she wears to the gallery later on. Joyce is just a vision. Honestly, this episode is a great one for outfits. Everyone's wearing something charming that really matches their character. And even though Giles's is pretty forgettable, he gets his incredible car and the scenes with it. And I'm not really sure what else there is to say. Just gold stars all around. So until next time, I'll see you at the mall. Because it's Halloween season, baby, and Hot Topic has Coraline merch. Hell yes!
That was our friend Kate. She gave you the Buffy fashion update.
Wow, Kate. Thank you so much for that beautiful fashion watch. Also, if you missed it, Kate made us a video for the first episode of this season. It's over on our Patreon. It's available to all, and we highly suggest.
It's a fashion watch video. There are many outfit changes, as you would expect. There's some winking. There's some spooky music. There's some very compelling makeup. It will change you.
It will change you.
Forever.
For the better. So, Jenny.
Harmony looks great.
Harmony looks great.
She's got a gang. They're gonna kill the Slayer.
They're gonna kill the Slayer
tonight.
So she has minions. She's so Harmony. And I'm sure we told you this in the intro, but we're gonna give you a little tease of next week's episode, because we will have an episode next week that is me sitting down with Mercedes McFucking Nab.
Mercedes McFucking Nab.
Full name. And talking to her about her time on the show as Harmony. We're putting just a little tease in this episode, but you'll get the full thing next week in our feed. So that's exciting. Not only do we have Mercedes McNab in this episode, Jenny, but we have Tom Lenk playing Cyrus, one of the minions.
There he is.
That might not mean anything to you if you're a first-time watcher, but we will see this actor again in the series.
So stay tuned. Okay.
Anyhow.
So in the next freaking scene, what you already called out gets cranked up to a whole new level when Joyce is pissed that Buffy...
Yeah.
Happened to be in a place where there was a dead body over which she had no control, when Joyce is the person who said take your sister in the first place.
I know. I think that Joyce has stuff going on at the gallery, and I think she might have a new lady crush. I'm just saying.
My
she seems
God
distracted. She's wearing leopard.
I feel like...
Who knows what's going on, you know, at the gallery?
I think there might be... Maybe she like ran into Bette Porter at the gallery and is feeling
my
it.
God.
Call the babysitter.
Call the babysitter, but only if it's Xander, who calls her Dawn Patrol. And she's like, Xander is so much cuter than everyone, which is so cute.
It is. And like Xander really is the... like boy that your little sister would have a crush on.
100%.
He's so like, he makes Dawn feel like she's part of the gang, you know, and he makes jokes. He's like, hey, they're putting cheese on this circle bread. It's, gonna really catch on.
And he says, my favorite thing that happens in this episode, may I please?
Yes,
tell
please.
You what it is. When Joyce is on her way out, she's like, be good or whatever. And he's like, oh, we will. We're just gonna play with matches, run with scissors, take candy from some guy. I don't know his name. This is some top quality, like grade A lineage and delivery.
Yeah, it's
really
great.
Nice.
Xander's picking up on those Buffy quips. He's getting his own little banter going on.
Do you think that because this episode is largely from Dawn's perspective, we're seeing it through her eyes a little bit? Like, Xander's like
a little
extra
funnier.
Charming, and then Anya is like grating and difficult.
Stop, Jenny, because we're playing the sound clip of when Anya walks. So Xander comes in, and Dawn's excited. I want to say before Anya gets in, Dawn is like, he builds things, he's brave, and he treats everyone like an equal. You know, season one Xander, maybe not so much, but season five Xander, he's coming along. So now I would like to play a sound clip, because after Dawn is so excited that Xander's there, she is pissed when Anya rolls up. And Anya, please speak for us, Anya.
Xander treats everyone like an equal. He doesn't look down on people.
Hello there, little girl.
Even when he should.
We are going to have fun, fun, fun. Look, I've got Monopoly, Clue, and ooh, the game of life. That sounds good.
Okay, so we'll get more from Anya. Can't wait. Anya's due for a jingle, isn't she, Jenny? You gonna work on that?
Tonight is the night, is the night of...
Great. Yes. Okay, stay tuned in a future episode for Anya's upcoming jingle. So let's go to the Wicca room. Tara and Willow are moving into the dorm room that they share now, because they didn't officially share it until now. Now they've really moved in together. And I think the signal to us that they are melding worlds is that I see two pieces of artwork. One is a weird cartoon cat and the other is pressed leaves. And I feel that both of those are symbolic of Willow and Tara's molding.
Yeah,
melding of minds.
You know what's nowhere to be seen? Miss Kitty Fantastico.
Where the fuck is Miss Kitty Fantastico?
I don't know. Guess we'll just have to keep an eye out.
Huh.
Oh, this is really nice.
This
is really nice. Tara's talking about how it must be tough for Dawn because she's like outside of the situation and she can't help. And Tara's like expressing that she gets that. And Willow's like, you're not outside of the group. You're in the group. And Tara's like, no, you guys like have had this thing going on for some time. And like, I respect that. And that's cool. And I'm just like using my experience, which I'm totally cool with, to highlight like why Dawn might be feeling left out. Right?
Yeah.
And then they vertically spoon.
Moving vending machines, pulling petals off of roses, Greek poetry, kittens, and you know it's sweaty work doing spells from a place of love, like Willow and Tara.
You still have that lesbian sex thread going on Twitter.
Yeah, I gotta dig back a ways.
Eighth base is vertically spooning.
So, but I want to talk about this moment where Willow comes up behind Tara and wraps her arms around her, and they're talking about their feelings, right? Because we've talked a little bit about the relationship of Willow and Tara and how groundbreaking it is, but the moments like these are why this relationship is groundbreaking on television, because Willow and Tara are not just sexualized queer women.
Right.
They are two women who have a deep love bond for each other and who support each other in a partnership way that we often always see heterosexual couples portrayed. And that's super powerful now in 2019, but into the year 2000, this was incredibly powerful to not just see two women in a relationship, but to see these little moments, to see that they have a little dry erase calendar that's hanging in their little bathroom area. I don't know why it's there. Maybe they're keeping track of when they take their Zoloft. I don't know, but it's cute.
Or just like their menstrual cycles and the moon. Oh, yes, the moon. Whatnot.
You're right. It's the moon.
And then Willow, in trying to make, in like getting confused about what's really going on, is like, maybe we could have a Scooby initiation for you.
And rings. We could get Tara's rings. Tara's like,
I'm an adult. But that would be nice for Dawn. That would make Dawn feel really good and special.
Yeah.
And Dawn clearly loves like at least half of the, she loves Willow, Tara, and Xander.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay with Riley and like pesked by Buffy and Giles and really doesn't like Anya.
So, and Jenny, I'm here for your analysis of Tara, because I do think my opinion is this is like 80% of Tara's occupying of this space. But I do think that there's a bit of Tara that's playing out some of her own insecurities about this group through, and this is like, I do this all the time. I think many of us do this all the time. Like, we give voice to our own insecurities through the insecurities of others. Mm-hmm. And I think that Tara is an adult person, and I think she's capable of managing it. But I think, you know, the Scoobies are a hard gang to penetrate.
Absolutely.
And I think Tara has some of that too.
Speaking of penetration.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, can't
Dad
wait.
Dad is drunk. So, Buffy and Riley are hard at work or hardly working. And boy, oh boy, does Buffy have a lot to say.
Wow. And this is, so Jenny, not to whatever, but like you and I, we were in a relationship for almost a decade, married for several years. And this reminded me of some of our dynamic, which is why it's hilarious to me to hear you say, like, wow, Buffy sure has a lot to say. because this is a thing that I, like, really, when Riley tries to use his logic to solve Buffy's issue.
Get out of here with that. Right. Useless stuff, please.
And Buffy is so, like, she so owns her shit. She's advanced for a 20-year-old. She's like, excuse me, but this is a rant, and logic has no place in a rant.
Yeah. I just need to go until I'm done, until the batteries wear down.
Right. Which is a thing that I personally understand deeply. And a dynamic I remember from many of my relationships, yours included.
Among his many logic points, he brings up that you're Dawn's hero. He tells Buffy that she's Dawn's hero.
Yes.
Which is something that neither Dawn nor Buffy can possibly conceive of, but it's probably pretty true.
Yeah, it is definitely true. And also, not to like talk too much about me and my sister, but it is kind of the episode for that. This was super present in our relationship that I didn't recognize until years and years and years later, that the whole time I had been being a horrible monster to her. She just wanted to like be near me. And I know. God. And like, it's really, I'm sure that many of you older siblings out there can identify with that gutting feeling of later realizing what you couldn't know then. And they give a bit of that to us here with Buffy and Dawn.
And then we kind of get to the real meat of it when
almost the title of the episode.
Real meat. When Buffy says she gets to be a kid. Like Buffy never did.
Right.
And she acts like it's the biggest burden in the world. And the grass is always greener.
Right. Because we know that Buffy wants that burden. She wants the burden of just being a kid who is just mad and upset about her older sister. It's something that Buffy really never got.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. And you're right, though. The grass is always greener. They both are carrying the weight of their particular world.
Yeah. And at the same time that this is going on across town, Dawn is playing Ooh, the Game of Life with Anya and Xander and saying like, oh, Buffy's mom's favorite. And Xander says, that's crazy talk. Joyce loves you both equally, but also maybe just like slip her a 20 once in a while.
Yeah.
Even the ads.
Yeah. Yeah, Xander's like, money solves everything. And it's good that he's in a relationship with Anya because I do believe that this will have value in that relationship as well. But there's this amazing moment where Dawn is like internally monologuing and she's Xander sees me the way I really am as a woman. And she chocolate ice cream
like all over her face. Like, and the only way that you could get that is if you had like a Haagen-Dazs pint in front of you that was like pretty melty but full. Mm-hmm. And then you just like dunked your whole, she looks kind of like Homer Simpson, you know?
Yeah,
with chocolate ice cream instead of 5 o'clock shadow.
So, listen, I don't mean to sound clip you all out here, but this is an important moment for our dear Anya. I'd like to lead us into the sound clip, and we're going to go right from the sound clip into a jingle. I have a feeling that those of you who know this episode already know the sound clip and the jingle.
Crap. Look at this. Now I'm burdened with a husband and several tiny pink children. More cash than I can reasonably manage.
That means you're winning.
Really?
Yes, cash equals good.
Oh, I'm so pleased. Can I trade in the children for more cash?
The patriarchy!
Anya, highlighting and smashing that patriarchy with her wishes to trade her children in for cash.
She just wants that money. I just hate having more cash than I can reasonably manage. It's one of my least favorite things. Then there's a brick through the window.
Slayer, come out and die.
Smiley face.
And then not even giving them a moment to read the note, you hear Harmony outside like, Buffy, I'm out here. Come out and fight me.
And this shot, like, out the window of the Summer's house of the five of them, like, with their, like, hands on their hips.
God,
just like,
it's so good.
And battle axes and stuff. When are vampires gonna update
their looks?
Their weaponry.
Their weaponry. I think it's an important, I think it's a very important and respected part of vampirism, that they stick with their original weapons.
Sure, okay, yes.
As a matter of fact, I think our country would be in better shape if we had stuck with our original weapons.
That would be great.
We could all take a note from vampires. I want to also ask a question here about glass. If you lived in the Summers household, would you not have gotten safety glass at this point for your front window? You know, the glass like that they use in cars where it just shatters, it crumbles. Because that window has broken.
Who knows how many times?
I mean, dozens of times. So,
good thing Xander's like deep into carpentry now.
Yeah, that's true. So Harmony comes to the door. Xander's like, this is hilarious. They have some really great exchanges here. First of all, Harmony has already found out through the Vampire Times that Xander had puppy dog eyes for Dracula. And then there's this wonderful reference. And here's where we're going to bring in our little tease of our Mercedes McNabb interview. Because they talk about the last time that Harmony and Xander met, this epic
on the field of battle.
The field of battle. So let's hear a little bit from the wonderful Mercedes McNabb about that scene. So the epic fight scene between you and Xander, of course, Harmony and Xander, is on all of our minds. It's hilarious, and I would love to hear. I know everyone would love to hear a little bit about filming that scene, how it went, what it was like.
Well, it was slightly ridiculous because they made Nick wear like shin guards because I kicked him in the shin at one point. So you had to wear shin guards, and I think it was very, you know, the stunt people were very interested in us not getting hurt. I'm like, I'm pretty sure we're not going to get hurt. We're not even touching each other. And then I didn't know at the time that they were filming it in slow motion. So it was funny, and we knew it was funny just because it was so ridiculous. But then when you watched it on the show and it was slowed down and made to be super dramatic, then it got even funnier.
Yeah.
So that helped.
Did they give you direction apart from like kick his shin? Was it ad?
Oh, no. It was fully staged.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, you know, everyone's got their job to do. So that every like little tiny slap was planned out.
It's choreographed.
It's kind of ridiculous when you think about it.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, it looks completely natural. It looks like they said, like, just, hey, can you just like bat each other around
I think that's kind of what we ended up doing. But yeah, they had it semi-planned out because, like I said, he had shin guards on and something else. I can't remember what it was. Some protective gear.
It makes it even funnier.
I know. That it's happening under the clothes.
Yeah, that like everyone's very concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Nick might get hurt.
He might get an owie on his shin bone.
So next week, next Wednesday, you'll get Angel on Top, and you'll also get in the buffering feed our full interview with Mercedes McNabb.
Oh, hooray.
Get to hear her talk about a lot of other things, which will be fun. So tune in for that. And oh my gosh, thank you, Mercedes McNabb. She was such a delight. So then, of course, Don commits the classic Summers error.
And accidentally invites Harmony in.
I don't think I realized that you had to live inside of the house to be able to issue an invite until this episode.
I don't think that it's come up specifically in the Buffyverse.
I think that's nice that you can't invite vampires into somebody else's home, you know? Because who can you really trust? So anyhow, Dawn, you know, she's just trying to, like, get involved and be like, yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, yeah, big talk.
And instead she says, come in here and say that.
Ah, exactly what you don't want to say to a vampire.
Luckily, it only gets Harmony in because she was only talking to Harmony. Now, I know that we're supposed to be like, oh, shit, Harmony got in. But, like, Harmony has fucking moves. We remember the last time we saw Harmony fight.
She's been hitting the gym.
Anya has this great little like cutaway moment where she's like looking for a fucking weapon.
Yeah. The Slayer. She's in the house, the home of the Slayer, the fine craftsman home of the Slayer. Nary a weapon to be seen anywhere. All she can do is use a household object.
Yes. So she uses the lamp. Harmony lets us know that she's been working out. She's been honing her skills. But she does scamper off with her minions. And Xander says something about an enchilada. And then Buffy's not going to be happy, which is a great cut to the next scene.
Of Buffy cracking up.
Hysterically laughing.
Over the concept of Harmony having minions.
Right. Which is funny, of course, until she finds out as Anya deftly delivers her line. Anya says, you know, well, it would be funny, except for she has full access to your house now.
Oops.
And, you know, Buffy's furious with Dawn, and this is like a moment where the Scooby and Scooby adjacent folk are like, hey, maybe go easy on her. Like, she's a kid. It was a real rough moment for her. And Buffy has no fucking room for that at all. Today's episode is brought to you by Regal Cinemas. If you're anything like me, you deeply enjoy going to the movies. Going to the movies is probably among my top three all-time activities. I love seeing films on the big screen. I also love being around other people who are watching the same movie with me at the same time. And of course, I love eating giant buckets of popcorn. If you feel the same and you like going to the theater, Regal Unlimited is something that just makes sense. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass. It pays for itself in two movie visits. You can see any standard 2D movie anytime, no blackout dates, no restrictions. When you want to watch a movie in 4DX or IMAX or RPX or ScreenX, there's so many ways to watch movies these days, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And with Regal Unlimited, you don't only save money on the tickets, you will also save on your snacks. And as previously mentioned, I love snacks. The only thing that can make me love a snack more is saving money on buying a snack. Members get 10% off of all non-alcoholic concession items with membership. Regal Unlimited, all you can watch movie subscription pass. It pays for itself in two visits. So if you're planning to see two movies this month, join Regal Unlimited and sign up now. You can sign up in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. Sign up for Regal Unlimited using code BUFFERING and earn 10% off your 3-month subscription. Please let us know about all of the movies you see and how the popcorn is.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Let's go to the cemetery. Before we go to the cemetery, let's just take a quick moment to talk about some of today's sponsors. Okay, now we can go to the cemetery.
Okay, let's go to the cemetery. My first note is Harmony's pissed and looking hot.
Accurate.
Right? Cyrus's stomach is growling. Brad's like being a Brad. And Spike is like kablam.
Yeah, he's here. He's punchy.
He doesn't see Harmony at first. He thinks it's just a gang of vampires. And, you know, rumors are a-flying. I guess they're not really rumors. They're true facts.
Everybody knows that he kills vampires.
Yeah. And then from the shadows emerges Harmony. And this is quite a moment, Jenny.
Ha!
Because he says, hello, Harm. And because he's like, damn. His first note was, Harm's pissed and looking hot. And then she says, Spikey.
I mean, Spike.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, you look good. She says, I feel good.
He says, I remember.
I remember.
Spike, I love you. Spike, so dreamy. Spike, you trench coat.
This is hot, hot, hot.
Great. Love to see it.
Love to see it, too. Harmony explains to her minions, don't worry, we used to go steady.
Oh, my God.
And she tells Spike
what she's been up to.
Yeah.
Mustering a gang.
Yeah.
Collecting minions. Spike thinks this is adorable.
Which
she's like, I've been reading. And he's like, what? Evil for Dummies?
Right.
Rude. Which
is super rude and condescending.
But also very funny.
But right. It's funny patriarchy. but right. So they're going back and forth. And then she's like, I'm killing the Slayer. And he's like, well, now you're singing my fucking song. But also, LOL, this is probably your plan, right? And she's like, no. I would love to know what Harmony's first plan was.
Like,
can we get a special bonus episode of what Harmony's plan was before Spike told her how to kill the Slayer?
Yeah.
So Spike leaves and Harmony, of course, is like, hey, guys, new plan based on what Spike has just told me. Mm-hmm. We need to get bait. We need to use the bait to get the Slayer, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God.
Cut to the Summers home. Dawn overhears Buffy being a jerk. I mean, she's mad. And to be fair, she's mad because Joyce hasn't been the best mom in this episode to her. And she's put Buffy at a disadvantage. She is not. I don't think that Joyce has set her daughters up for success in this episode.
True.
I think she's really fanning the flames by the way that she's handling things. And so Buffy is, you know, reasonably and understandably just being upset amongst her friends, not realizing that Dawn, I mean, she should realize because the main role of a younger sister is to eavesdrop outside the door. Dawn,
but she really
this.
Like hears the worst part and then walks away before she can hear anything redeeming.
Right. Of course. I mean, it is television
it
after
is
all.
Television.
So, we get more from Buffy, you know, she's just a kid. I was just a kid. And then Buffy says something that I think is very interesting. She says, we're coddling her. We're turning her. I mean, she didn't have to say a little idiot, but we're turning her into a little idiot who's going to get us all killed.
Yikes.
Yikes, Buff. But also there's something about the observation in like, why can't we show her this stuff? Like, she is the sister of the Slayer.
Maybe that inspires Joyce to coddle extra hard because by comparison, like she isn't able to coddle Buffy at all.
Yeah, yeah, good point.
She can't protect Buffy from her sacred duty and all the things that are trying to kill her all the time.
Right. So Dawn runs out the door, distraught.
Anya runs after her.
Anya's like, stop, no. And Anya's like, you have to come back inside. And then Mort appears.
Ooh.
And
big, beefy Mort.
Oh, he punches Anya.
I don't like that.
Oh, it's really not something that anybody likes to see. Anya gets, like, really injured, punched hard. She's splayed across the kitchen floor, and they take Dawn, of course, as the bait. Anya is sort of trying to tell the gang what's happened, but she's real fucked up. She needs to go to the Sunnydale Hospital.
Yeah.
Just keep an eye on her, guys.
The Rupert Giles Memorial Concussion Hallway is where she'll be staying.
We go back to Harmony's lair. She calls the minions the Minioteers, I believe, which is nice. She makes a joke and nobody gets it. And she's like, I'm trying to be sarcastic. Like, have you guys not been watching this television show called Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yeah.
But she's defending, not defending, but she's basically like, listen, we're not eating Dawn. That's not what the plan is. And we're sticking to the plan. But you have to imagine that there's more going on here for Harmony because, I mean, technically they don't need Dawn in the plan.
Yeah.
So it seems what's like...
It feels to me like she's like, I have to stick to the plan or I'll fuck it up.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, that's fair.
In a way that I can't preconceive. And so she's like running down their to-do list and mentions that there's going to be another note that goes to Buffy. And the minions are like, more notes? More smiley faces?
And then Buffy, of course, is like, yo, you deal with Anya. I'm going to go get my sister. And goes immediately to Spike's. Now, Spike is talking about satellite dishes. And the only reason I bring it up is because he has this amazing line when Buffy walks in and he goes, speaking of dishes. And it's just like, listen, I know he's objectifying women and whatever, the patriarchy, but it's a funny line.
When you get out your shovel and you go in the backyard and you dig for about 2 to 3 good hours to unearth a word like dish, can you really even include it in the column of objectification?
Speaking of dishes. And so she's like, where the fuck is Harmony's lair? I know you know where she lives.
Punch, punch, punch.
Right. And he tells her, and then she punches him again.
Just one more time for good measure.
Right, which is great.
Because she's pissed.
We haven't gotten a ton of the Buffy-Spike dynamic in this season yet, so we're just reacclimating to these two and their foibles.
Yes.
And then...
Listen, this is a great episode for everyone relating to Dawn. Uh-huh. We get to see Harmony complaining to Dawn, her prisoner, about how hard it is to be her and how like difficult it is to be a leader and nobody's taking her seriously and she feels, you know.
Yeah, they don't understand her. They don't understand the pressure she's under.
Mm-hmm.
Then the minions turn on Harmony and Dawn. They're going to kill Harmony and eat Dawn.
Just to be clear, Brad abstained from this vote, but he'll probably just go with the majority.
Brad has such a crush on Harmony. Aww. Who doesn't? So Dawn says, touch me and my sister's going to kill you. Before we get the great other half of this, which is that, in fact, Buffy does arrive and kill this Cyrus. Kill Cyrus. Goodbye, Cyrus.
Bye, Cyrus.
We will never see ye again, but we will see Tom Lenk again.
Hooray.
But before that kill happens, Buffy rolls up and Harmony whips around and says, so Slayer, at last we meet. And Buffy's like, Harmony, we literally went to high school together.
Yeah. And we've also mixed it up since you've been a vampire.
Oh my God, it's so fucking good. It's so, this is like last episode, Ian Carlos Crawford of Slayerfest 98 talked about like this beauty of Buffy, like the humor and seriousness mixed in. And this is just like a classic Buffy the Vampire Slayer moment. So she kills almost all of the minions. And of course, Mort the Meathead is left.
Huh.
And they fight. They really, Mort has some strength because they tussle. And while that's happening, Harmony's like, I'm fucking out of here. gotta go. Not before Buffy explains to Harmony that not only was, I don't really love this part. She's like, you were bad at being a cheerleader. You were bad at being this. And now you suck at being bad.
Whoa, Buffy.
No.
I think like Harmony's not getting enough credit here.
I agree. I think Harmony, I mean, I know that Harmony
feels like a retcon.
Yeah.
Selective memory.
Thank you. So anyhow, Harmony escapes and fucking Buffy, of course, uses the giant unicorn to kill Mort.
Listen, big vampire, you need a big steak. Sometimes that steak is shaped like a unicorn.
Oh, Dawn's like, I'm telling Mom that you slayed in front of me.
Like, would you prefer, Joyce, that Buffy let a vampire live in front of Dawn? Oh,
Joyce is all mixed up. She may have. But as you know, if you watch the episode, they don't tell on each other. They get home and they both cover for each other.
It's very sweet.
Yes. This is the other side of siblinghood, is that, like, yes, you're at each other's throats, but if you have a good relationship with your sibling, you know
that your common enemy is your parents.
Like, precisely. So we're almost to the end. We have the last scene is in the magic box, but Jenny, before we get there, we probably should talk about sexiness and tension and where that Venn diagram overlaps.
Yeah, let's talk about
sexual attention award.
Yeah, you heard our winners for season 5, episode 1 in the intro. And now we're going to tell you about the STA nominees for season 5, episode 2, Real Me.
Holy shit. First up, hot, hot, hot out of the Cougar Gates, we've got Riley and Joyce.
It's Mountain Lion season, baby, and they're hungry for military meat.
Your mom meets the butterscotch hunk.
Next up, we've got an equally spicy pairing, Willow. And Buffy's work ethic.
Tasty.
Sparks will fly.
Third up, we have probably the one you knew we were going to choose, which is Spike and Harmony meeting together again. Spike turned on by Harmony's self-possessed new attitude.
Yeah, Sparks flying there also, but please step back because immolation watch. And in the fourth slot, there comes a time in every British gentleman's life when he must firmly grip the steering wheel of his existence, take control of his destiny, shift into drive and not neutral, and potentially enjoy sexual tension between Giles and his sporty little temptress of a new car.
You think he wants to lay on the hood of that car with Joyce?
Or? I don't know. Wow.
So there you have it. Follow us, of course, everywhere, really. But on Twitter is where you'll find the poll at BufferingCast. The poll stays open for 1 week. So get on over there. You can vote and
make your voice heard.
You decide the winner. And I know we have a lot of new voters because last episode when I put up the poll, we had a lot of people reply being like, I have been waiting to participate in my first sexual tension awards poll.
Welcome.
For so long. This is my first vote.
This is your moment.
Yes. So welcome. Go along and vote. That has been your Sexual Tension Awards.
Sexual Tension Award.
All right. Let's wrap up this episode. There's only a couple more things that happen.
Yes. First, a joke about Spinal Tap.
Hooray.
Never saw it coming. I had no idea anything about Spinal Tap. I looked it up after I watched the episode.
What'd you learn?
That they're a fictional band.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh,
and
my
because
God.
I was like, I literally was like, let me look this up. Is this a distasteful joke about the drummers dying at an early age? And then I learned that Spinal Tap, in case you, like me, do not know, Spinal Tap is a fictional band one of the ongoing gags was that the drummers were constantly dying from like really random things in really random and hilarious ways. So that's where this joke comes from. I'm here to not know anything about pop culture for those of you who also don't, so we can go on a journey together. Okay. So Giles is going to take over the magic box.
Despite the fact that there's a very high mortality rate. And one of his prime reasons, I think, is because he was so bored last season that he watched Passions with Spike.
May you never speak of it.
He just wants to forget.
So Buffy and Giles sort of like are talking about this magic box thing. They're going, I think, into train, and Buffy pokes her head out and is like, Dawn, don't move. Dawn, stay where you are. Dawn, don't fuck anything up. Dawn. And Dawn is sort of giving a voice to like, you know, I still hate my sister, but okay.
But she's okay, I guess.
She's all right. And then she writes in her diary, she still thinks I'm her dumb little sister. Boy, is she in for a surprise.
Dun, dun, dun.
So,
I wonder where that could possibly lead.
Who knows?
Well, that about does it for this episode, I suppose. I am and shall continue to ever be Jenny Owen Youngs. And when I'm not watching Buffy and making this podcast, I am writing and recording songs. I have a couple new songs out right now and an EP that's up for pre-order. You can find all that stuff at JennyOwenYoungs.com. And you can also listen to me talk about another TV show that centers around another very
petite blonde,
a petite, clever, powerful blonde named Veronica Mars. That podcast is called Veronica Mars Investigations, and you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hell yeah. And I am Kristen Russo. You can find me on social media, and my website is all Kristen Nolene. They haven't heard the jingle in a while, Jenny. Let's play them the beautiful Kristen Nolene jingle you made.
Hit it, me.
Kristen with an I, N-O-E-L-I-N-E.
So you can learn about the work that I do with LGBTQ communities. You can also follow and find me with my new podcast, where I am talking with Joanna Robinson about the television show My So-Called Life. You better get on in there, because there's only 19 episodes. It does not feature a petite, badass blonde, but it does feature crimson glow dyed Angela Chase, who's a pretty big badass herself. So tune in over there. I think we have a great little stack going, Jenny, because if I'm not mistaken, Veronica Mars airs on Tuesdays, Buffering and Angel on Wednesdays, and then the Boiler Room goes on Thursdays. So we're in your ears all week.
Yeah, take it over your week.
Yeah. Also, I just want to give a shout to the fact that over the summer, I created a e-care package. The e-care package is for parents and loved ones of trans people, youth, but also people of all ages. It's a really powerful tool. You can find information about that at mykidisgay.com, which is a site that I run. We're into October now, and October 11th is National Coming Out Day. It's going to be a great day to spread the word about that e-care package. People need to learn about it, so please help me spread the word. How about us? Where can they find us?
Buffering the Vampire Slayer is on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at BufferingCast. And you can always email us at BufferingTheVampireSlayer@gmail.com.
Yes, and you can find us on our website, BufferingTheVampireSlayer.com, where you can click on things like shop to support us. It's one of many ways to support us. We have some really incredible stuff in the store. If there are any posters left, we've got those beautiful posters designed by Kate Leth commemorating the season 5 premiere. And of course, all of your Smash the Demon Lizard patriarchy and support your local alewife and girl gang paraphernalia that you love and know. Also, you can support us on Patreon. We have a lot of things happening in Patreon. We do Buffy watches over there. You can get into the secret Facebook group. You get the music in advance. We now have a private RSS feed over there, which means that if you give at any level, the bonus episodes that go to you will go right to your podcatcher of choice. And if you want to listen to us ad-free, the $10 patrons now get ad-free episodes in that feed as well. So good stuff happening over there. And don't forget, you can get exclusive merchandise at that $25 level. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. And till next time.
Woo!
Doobie-doobie-doo, business as usual, doing what I do, handstands and such, crystals stacked up, helping me focus, honing in on...
Ugh, can we go yet?
Doobie-doobie-doo, business as usual, doing what I do, out on patrol... Dawn needs a sitter. Yeah, I already know this.
No, I don't.
But I can get Xander on really short notice.
Oh, Xander's coming? Yeah, yeah, okay. I love a sitter.
As usual, doing what I do, cleaning up Dawn's mess. Why'd I have to get stuck with the worst brat from my only sister when you know?
Hey, I heard that!
get stuck with the weight of the world. Ooh, she gets to be an ordinary girl.
Wish I wasn't just an ordinary girl.
Do-ba-do-ba-do. Business as usual, doing what I do. Saving my sis. For you, I'd fight a million of these nasty blood suckers. Even though you really can be such a little.
You love me. Why don't you come inside and say that? Ah, shoot, I should know better by now. I am basically an adult. But, like, what do you think Xander's doing right now? Dear diary. Okay, I, like, barely even got kidnapped. What's the big deal? You need some stuff to do around here anyway.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.